present you a kind of program, some conceptual issues, and the main goal, or I hope that one of the goals could be something like recommended approach to tomography. And that's why I will stress on the, let's say, on the issues, on the statistical aspects of this tomography and diagnostics. And first of all, here is the outline of my talk. I will talk briefly about demotivation. It's of course kind of inverse problem. Then I will present elements of quantum mechanics and what we are, and this concept which we are calling objective tomography and its consequences, namely the diagnostics. And provided we have time, I will show the homodyne detection example because it's really a seminal example of quantum tomography and maybe some other issues related to this, what is the penalized maximum likelihood. So let me start with this motivation. So it's very easy because why we need tomography, it's so that sometimes the class of the variables you can directly measure here denoted as I are simply different than those you are interested in. Here denoted as mu. Then what's necessary to do is just to invert. And of course, in each theory, you can recognize several important steps. In the first step, the people are formulating the basic theory for quantum theory, of course, from the beginning of the 20th century, the formulation of the theory. Then people are inverting. This is the period when they are doing inversion. Of course, in the third period, the people may try to optimize this, and in the fourth period, they are trying to utilize it and really apply it for some application. But of course, in this, as far as quantum tomography is concerned, in my opinion, we are just in this second period, and I will present the method how to invert and why to invert in this way. So what matters here, of course, is the number of the events. It's just the counting of the parameters, because what really matters is how many detective events do you have, and then how many how many inferred points, what's the number of the points of reconstructed signal which you need. And of course, the problems could come from overdetermined when there is many detective points up to strongly underdetermined problems. And this really matters. And I will just tell you what does it mean for the tomography. Homodyne tomography, because people are evaluating the quantum state on the basis of certain measurements. So what is quite typical, or I would say quite standard, they are able to use up to 10 in the power of 5, so 100,000 detected data points. Of course, the logic or the quantum mechanics tells you if you are detecting close, if you have your points are very close to each other, this event could be considered as more or less dependent or repeating somehow the same information. That's why we modeled and say that about 10% of these events are really kind of independent detected events. So altogether 10,000 data points. And now what's the problem? Reconstruct the density matrix. The inversion is anyway inversion. And provided you will have 10 in the power of 4 detected points, you may go up to dimension 100, because 100 times 100 gives you approximately the same number of the free points. So this is really very straightforward. But what's the point in the tomographic examples? And some people have talked about this and are using the dimension up to 10, no more usually. And I will explain you why. Provided you see you realize this, you see what is the ratio. The point is that in this case, you are in fact adopting only something like 1% of the potential of your accumulated data. And the point is that in fact you can do even the reconstruction of the bigger space, but you will, as an experimentalist, you will not be satisfied with the result for sure. And in my talk, I will explain why it's so and how to treat these things. And I will start with quantum mechanics. And I will present three, maybe the fourth one again, for the fourth point, the three very important points in this, which leads toward this quantum tomography. So first of all, we must define the rule which is responsible for the generation of our signal. It's of course the probability of quantum theory. It's obvious, it's nothing else, it's the states of this quantum state, which we would like to know, which is, by the way, this our signal. And what's important to say that this signal fulfills certain conditions, namely positive semi-definity. All quantum mechanics is coded in this condition, all the uncertainty principles, whatever. So this you are interested in. This could be measured, sampled somehow, of course, with some inevitable errors. And Aj are the elements, the structure of the measurement, which is which can be measured and which can be detected. Standard, what's considered in standard textbooks is the completeness relation, namely that all these POVM elements gives you one. So it means that all the probabilities are properly normalized. The point and very important issue, and this I will stress just now, is that this is not the most generic scheme you can imagine. The point is that sometimes you are, as an experimentalist, you have the right to combine any measurement you wish. So if you take this and this and other one, everything what you will get sums to something what is positive semi-definite, but definitely needn't be equal to one. It is really very important issue, and in fact, this is the basic basic idea behind this concept of objective tomography. The point is that even this measurement is complete, but somewhere. So it means that everything what you are doing is complete, but you must specify where is it. How to see it? It's very simple. If you divide it from the right and from the left by g minus one by this operator, you will get identity here, but of course identity only on the subspace with non-zero eigenvalues of g. But this is very important because it tells you where you should look for your state. So your measurement is in fact scanning all big Hilbert space or small, doesn't matter, in such a way, and the efficiency how each component was detected is exactly given by this g operator. So I would like to stress, is there an eraser here? It's here, yeah. So this I would like to stress, and you see there is definitely a structure of quantum mechanics behind this the definition of G. So this is the first issue. So G is one, let's say, one important mathematical structure which appears here. If you want to understand what does it mean, so it's very simple. It's this G operator, in fact, describes the space of the Hilbert space, how all these projectors or these POVM elements are overlapping. You want to see it thing in geometrical terms. So it's, for the simplicity, assume this is A operator is something like the projector. So let's visualize this as the ray. And what you can now define is the overlap between this ray and some generic state phi. So if you do this, it's nothing but the definition of the probability. You, at the end, add all the projectors, and now you may ask what state is overlapping maximally with all these rays. So you are solving very simple eigenvalue problem, and of course, it's nothing else as the eigenvalues of this G operator. So this is the geometrical meaning, and I will show you how this G operator appears in the mathematical, in the, let's say, estimation problem. So I will perhaps not go into the detail, but in this estimation theory, we are considering the signal as C numbers, of course, with some constraint, and we are trying to estimate them. It's all. And because we are using quantum measurements, it's quantum estimation theory. And fortunately, theory is ready, and by the way, it was formulated at the same time as quantum mechanics itself. It's a part of quantum, so-called maximum likelihood estimation, which was formulated by Ronald Fisher in 1920. And the rule is very simple. Provided that several events can in principle happen, then the safety strategy is just to bet on something what happened with the highest chance, and there are many, many applications in techniques, technology everywhere. The most curious one I have found is the is the application for finding the tunnel in the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. So this is this paper, and by the way, Fisher is also. He is author of the idea that perhaps the famous experiment of George Mendel, he was also, by the way, in Olomouc, this P plant was a little bit contrived because his data were too good to be true. So it's, again, the result of the statistical analysis. I will skip this part. And this likelihood could be, or maximum likelihood could be seen as a part of this Bayesian estimation, because once you have a prior information, you get some data, you can formulate the posterior probability distribution, which tells you something about your signal. But for our purpose, the formulation is simple, very simple. Likelihood is in fact nothing else as the product of all responsible probabilities which are in the play. So people are very often using logarithm of this, because here you have a sum. So provided that you have detected a certain channel n j times, and the probability of this event is pj, the likelihood is given as the logarithm of pj. And now an important issue, the consequence of this g operator, that the probabilities are not normalized, is very simple. You must simply normalize. That's why you add everything what do you have in your experiment, of course it's state dependent, and divide by this. So everybody see that all these events are normalized. If you add over j, its tautology will get one. And this is by the difference with respect to the Robert talk. I've asked intentionally about this. People are not using this term, but it's very important, because just this term delivers you this g operator into the play. And if you want to see it from very different perspective, this approach is known as the so-called constrained maximum likelihood, formulated by Fermi. And it comes from the likelihood, which is the standard one, the only not standard one, but it's a low likelihood which corresponds to the estimation of the Poissonian distribution with the unknown mean. Here is lambda and these probabilities. Lambda appears also here, so this is this probability. So if you formulate the extremal equation for the lambda, you will immediately get the previous one. So this is not by chance. I don't want now. And now we are coming to the second issue, namely to the method how to find the most likely solution. It's a technical problem. I don't want to go into details, but you may consider your state as numbers, as the variables, and you may there is a plenty way how to derive the extremal equation. One of them is just to formulate the extremal equation for with constraint, and what you will get is the solution of certain nonlinear equation. The nonlinear equation, I will write it perhaps here, is that the formally it looks like a linear equation, but of course the problem is that R operator, which includes all your data and of course knowledge of your measurement, is state dependent. This R operator, as I'm saying, have this data dependence, depends on the probability, and this is what you don't know, and depends on the type of your measurement. And of course, this is because the likelihood is a convex functional. The density matrices are creating a manifold, convex manifold of the state. This convex optimization, you may find a solution. There are several ways. You can, for example, and as we did, you can design a iterative algorithm which just climbs, and you will sooner or later reach the top of this likelihood, and you can do it on the desired same manifold of a positive semi-definite state, because you may easily rewrite this equation to the form of iterative equation for this positive positively semi-definite matrix. But this is just the technical. What's more important than this issue, I would like to stress explicitly, is that it really reveals the full structure of the quantum mechanics. Why? Let's start for the simplicity with this g equal to 1. It simplifies just the formulation. But okay, in the general case, this g appears on the right hand side. Yes, but let's start with g equal to 1. And what I'm saying, these equations in certain sense corresponds to the equation of this type, r equal to 1. So it means this decomposition or closure relation for some measurement, namely for the renormalized measurement. How to understand to this? So let's compare this situation with the standard linear inversion. In the standard linear inversion, you are starting with the complete set of the measurements. So the sum of all POVM elements give you one, but it's identity. You cannot use it for any solution. But then you are predicting that the trace of this POVM element, this unknown state, gives you your data. And all the business is inverted radon transformation or equivalent models are based just on inversion of this relationship. The point is that it's not a good method, right? Because you cannot implement any constraint on rho, namely positive semi-definity. If you think about the maximum likelihood inversion, you will see these two relations just change their role. The extremal equation is completeness relation for renormalized projectors. And as you will see, the renormalization again has a very, very good meaning. But once you do this renormalization, you see that you immediately fulfill this equation as the identity. You cannot use it. And this is really unique role. So if you believe that quantum mechanics plays some special role in nature, you must accept this as the argument that maximum likelihood is able to recover the structure. And I would stress again that this is really a very unique feature of maximum likelihood estimation. If you will use, for example, least square method, weighted least square method, whatever you want, any other norm, it still could be convex optimization, but you will definitely lose this relationship. That's why we really believe that maximum likelihood is really method convenient for solving quantum mechanical problems. But now forget everything about about mathematical statistics, because as you have seen, all these argumentations are, please. Yes. What is please what?
What is P sub K in the last one?
P. PK. Okay, this is this definition of the probability trace of A K times rho.
But then that last, I mean, that equation is just a tautology then, right?
This is identity. Okay. Or what do you mean?
Well, so if I plug in A prime K is defined as that.
Yes.
If I plug that in, I get trace of rho AK equals PK.
Yes, PK cancelled, you will get FK.
And I'm trying to understand what the content this is. It seems
it's identity. What I'm saying, here you are satisfied with this identity. But projectors, like, no, what I'm saying is that these two issues are, let's say, important for mapping quantum states to your data. I'm saying the linear inversion is based on this equation of this type of, let's say, relationship. And I'm saying that maximum likelihood just reverse the meaning. And the maximum, most likely, that this extremal equation it should be fulfilled is the completeness relation. And at the same time, the condition which appears here is the tautology, it's identity. Yes?
So in the top box, that the second equation is one that I can solve.
You can solve, but you cannot guarantee that the solution will be okay in quantum mechanics, because this is questionable.
But in the bottom box, because there's only one equation, which is a definition, there's nothing that I can solve.
Of course,
to
yes,
find
what
right.
I'm saying, yes, exactly. And now I will explain you why it's so, yes? Because everything is seemingly in the normalization. AK, now it's AK times something. It's a very good reason for this. Now forget about mathematical statistics and just think in terms of quantum mechanics. You have K channels. For the tomography, you need this and this and this simultaneously. But it's what is for sure, these channels are delivering data with different portion of the noise. Why? Because if you are detecting the channel, you are either detecting or not detecting. So binomial. Binomial statistics gives you the fluctuation given something like that. Everybody agrees. Of course, it's for sure, it depends on this unknown state. But how could you believe that your analysis would be okay, provided we combine the noisy data with more or less exact data? That's why we see that it would be reasonable to redefine POVM, because the incompatibility simply means that there is no common normalization for all elements. once you have the data. So let's assume that AK should be replaced by AK times some coefficients, whatever, arbitrary for now, yes? And now let's follow the lines of quantum mechanics. Now we would like to postulate the match this let's say elements to data. So we have mu chi theta I, so okay, trace of this new operator equal to fk, and of course we would like to postulate the completeness relation. You have it. Because mu can be calculated, can you plug in here, we will get something what is written on the blackboard. And again, I'm sorry, I'm repeating the same thing maybe three times, but this is the only our justification why we are believing in quantum tomography just based on maximum likelihood with all its consequences. And as you will see, there will be some consequences which are, let's say, quite fatal for some, let's say, applications. So another kind of arguments. You may wonder, again, it's a frequently asked question. Quantum mechanics is linear. Why it's happened that this is non-linear? Why? Because you are dealing with finite data sets. And again, you are collecting the data. Now think about the spin case. So for the simplicity, let's assume that this is unknown spin state. Unknown, nobody knows it. We would like to learn something about it. What you are doing, you are collecting projections from here, from here, from here, just like Stern-Gerlach apparatus. But what is important, the portion of noise depends on the deviation of the true state and the projection. It's for sure that this projection would be pretty precise and would be deterministic. You may, but you don't know it because you have just data. The projection of this type would be, again, more noisy. That's why to interpret correctly your data, you must know what is the true state is to know just the deviation. But this is what you don't know. That's why the way how to cut this vicious circle is to apply nonlinear procedure. And this nonlinear procedure is based on the renormalization of your POVM elements to harmonize somehow all your measurements. So again, repeat it. You have your data. You have measured whatever you want to measure. And now they are fluctuating. All data are fluctuating. This maximum likelihood method is reading all the information, just comparing the fluctuations among the data. Okay, so this is the second important part, but it is not still the end of the story, because now you should say, what does it mean? Of course, everything is statistical, everything fluctuates, and it's for sure that this matters a lot. What is the type of the fluctuation? Because as we said, that the likelihood is more or less something like here, and it depends a lot whether you are deriving your information from the hill, which is very, very sharp, or from the hill, which is very flat. In both cases, it could be still the same solution, but the interpretation will be completely different. So we must know what happened in the neighborhood, and we must somehow plug in into our game. But it's easy, because the critical issue is that what does it mean to reconstruct something? The point is that even in this maximum likelihood reconstruction, the result of the reconstruction is not a state, but a family of states with certain posterior distribution. I can imagine that this argument something like Bayesian formulation. Okay, but and now, so what's enough to do is just enough to evaluate this, approximate by Gaussian function. This is, by the way, nothing else. This is the Fisher information term, which appears in the exponential. And now you are able to describe state as fluctuating quantity. And in the last step, it's enough just to say, what do you want to measure? What do you want to use for diagnostics in general? You may be interested in some variable which is linear in the quantum state. For example, it could be Wigner function at the origin. So provided that the state is fluctuating, that is, of course, fluctuating for sure as well. And provided that you are using Gaussian approximation, the fluctuation could be described very easily as the projection of the operator which describes your performance measure to the Fisher information matrix. And again, I promise that this is the meaning in quantum mechanics. Of course it has, because if you assume this, you see that for two different operators, these two quantities are fulfilling uncertainty relations. So if you optimize your scheme for one variable, you are definitely losing something else, some other observable. So the important issue is that the error of desired quantity is always described as certain mean, which is really given by this most likely solution. It's here, but plus minus this important term, which depends on this Fisher information metric. So if you want to see in picture, it's here. All these important ingredients, something what defines the basis for your considerations, the top, which is more or less the fixed point where you can expand your solution. And here is the width of the quantity you are interested in. Of course, we have applied to a certain extent to many, many problems. And I think I will just briefly mention the only one which tells you what is really the danger of all these applications, namely the maximum likelihood estimation applied to homodyne detection with the huge number of data points in the power of 5. And let's say procedure which guarantees, which is, identifies the most likely state. And for the simulation, we did the simulation 1,000 times for the each. So it means 1,000 times generated this data set and doing the tomography. And as I promised, the first issue is G operator. So if you evaluate this G operator for 6 phase cuts and 100,000 data points, you will get the eigenvalues distributed something like that. What simply tells you that if you restrict your attention to the Hilbert space 10, you are operating somewhere here. So some in a very, very tiny part of your Hilbert space. In fact, your Hilbert space, which has been seen by your measurement, is much, much larger, goes, let's say, up to the 70. Here is the, let's say, standard result. If you really restrict your attention to very small space, you will really recover whatever you want. So in this case, it was Schrödinger-like state with the very mild negativity of the Wigner function, which is hidden somewhere in this picture. And here are the histograms. I said 1,000 times repeated experiment evaluated on the dimension 5 gives you something what you can really call successful reconstruction of the Wigner of the negativity of the Wigner function, because the majority of these guesses, as shown in by these histograms, comes is located in this negative part. This is the evaluation of the second of this. Of this 10, which determines the width. And because the space is really small, the fluctuations are really there and they are corresponding to this width. If you increase the dimensionality, you will see that something happens, that the distribution is slightly broader. But what's more important, the predicted width shifts. It means that on this bigger space, there could be some states which behave more or less, which are producing the same data, but the negativity is not such a pronounced. And of course, you can imagine what happened in the higher dimension. In dimension 18, our simulations show that, of course, you are not able effectively, not able to simulate effectively this behavior, but the width shifts a lot. So it means that there is a relatively big portion of the states which are not non-classical at all, but exhibit the same behavior. So the question of all these tomographic schemes is simply whether your data are the fingerprint, which is really able to uniquely, more or less uniquely identify the state, or just the, something more, let's say, something like the footprint, which is not definitely sufficient for this. I think I have used almost all my time. So, in fact, there is a simple explanation why this happened. It's because it may happen that you are evaluating just a small portion of the data, which is really not able to identify properly the effect, and it's because your effect depends on something what was not properly scanned by the measurement, and this can happen even in the classical situation, of course. Of course, there is a one method how to discuss this issue statistically, and namely, this is the method of penalized likelihood, but I do not have time to talk about this now, so maybe for some we can postpone it for some discussions. But what I'm just would like to stress is that this is really the program which is based on natural argumentation, and namely on the argumentation that quantum mechanics plays some special role in our formulation, as we have seen, the maximum likelihood estimation really reveals the full structure of the quantum mechanics in the estimation. So cartoon at the end, what's happened in the real observation. Thank you very much.
Questions?
There are no questions during my talk. I don't know. It's
pointing out. There are no response, right?